It's time to feel the fire. It's time for the Dragon Cricket Podcast. Hey, and welcome back to the Dragon Cricket Podcast. We're actually at the MCG today, day three of the Boxing Day Test. And we've just seen the first ball, and now the second ball bowled by Ishan Sharma. The first ball was a no ball. Apparently there was a few words overnight about that. Can also talk about his Adelaide Test and what happened there, sort of got out of his rhythm. But we've got Harris, who got a single off that first ball of the over, and Finch is now on strike. But great to be here, Rev, back at the MCG.
Very good, Chris. Another riveting day of Test cricket. I spent a lot of time painting around the house yesterday, enjoyed watching it dry more than the Test match.
Oh, there's a push into a pretty interesting position, like a wide, silly mid-off, would you call that, Marcus? Short extra cover, maybe?
Yeah,
super short extra cover.
Yeah, good.
Short leg in place as well.
Short mid-wicket as well.
Short mid-wicket, two slips in the gully.
Very encouraging for the opening bowlers when all the catching positions are in front of the wicket.
Yeah, that's right. But Sharma, I thought he bowled all right last night, so did Bumrah.
The only bloke who looked like he could move it.
That's right, which is important. But again, as we've seen the first 2 days, again, it's interesting with the roller on it in the first hour and a half or so. There's a nice little push from Finch through covers for a single. And that's what I think they need to be focusing on today, the Australians. Don't worry about the 420-odd that they've got to chase down. Just push the ball around, get some singles. And that's what the Indians weren't doing really yesterday. There was probably a lot of opportunities for singles that they didn't take, looking for the boundaries. Kohli was keen to run a few more, and Pujara was slowing up, so there was a few threes turned into twos and vice versa. So the Australians want to drop away from that. And his Sharma come in for what will be the fifth ball of the over, because he had a no ball the first up. But look, we were having a chat on the way in this morning, Marcus, about whether or not it was a sporting declaration. Half an hour to go on day two, six overs, they added them, 40 minutes or so, whatever it was. You felt it was more sporting than I did?
Oh, yeah, I could have batted till the middle of tomorrow if I was India, or today, and then just hope the pitch will deteriorate. It's the only way they're going to get a result, I reckon.
Yeah.
So, you know, they put them in and had a crack at them overnight, which I thought was good for cricket.
Yep. Even though the pitch probably isn't. That's a good little push. Very straight, just down past the bowler mid-on. But again, only a single. And they're the ones I think they've got to try and push a bit harder for. It is hot out there, though. It's a long day. And we're going to have one more ball in this over from Sharma. Yeah, so just on yesterday, obviously, Kohli and Pujara had a great partnership early, or through that middle session in particular. The first session of yesterday. Then a couple of quick wickets. And then it was sort of hit and giggle, really, trying for the Indians trying to get as many runs as they possibly could. I thought Rahane looked pretty good.
By Finchie outside
Sharma,
off, and that's the over.
Sharma, I thought, looked good too. I think he was a good addition to the side for India. Anyway, that's the first over here today. It's going to be another hot one. We'll see how the wicket plays in the first session here, and we'll have a bit more of a chat at lunch, and we'll have Ashish with us here, Rev.
Correct.
Surely.
Correct.
But thanks for listening to the Dragon Cricket Podcast. We'll chat to you a little bit later.
I did think it was a sporting declaration, Chris, last night. Harris got hit in the head playing a shocker, although we did mention that in Boxing Day as well. Obviously, the wicket's not easy for the bowlers or the batters.
No.
I think Pujara and Kohli did bat for 1,000 balls each, and neither of them really looked in. Yes, I was hoping that Harris might retire hurt last night, and we see Nathan Lyon come in as the night watchman at 3. Yeah, I was thinking that could have been the chance for a result in the game. You know, line up to 3. Obviously, the informed batsman from both teams. Well, Pajara's got a couple of hundreds, but anyway, you need Nathan Lyon in the game and firing.
Maybe put Cummins up, and the last time a fastball got put in as the night watchman, he made 200. Dizzy Gillespie.
That's right.
That's a while ago, though.
Anyway, draw seems to be on the cards here, though, we'd have to say, at the start of today.
Indian victory or a draw. I think they're our two options. We'll have to see how Australia goes today. unless the only way Australia could possibly get into it is bat hard and put on 600 or so going to the last day and try and roll them for 120.
Given that the best batsman in the world, Kohli, batted for 300 balls to make 80, I mean...
But that's about all they could do. And look, it could happen, but I wouldn't bet anything on it, that's for sure. The draw is still the best probably outcome at the moment.
First hour in both days has been pretty dead for the bowlers. I reckon the roller might have an effect on the pitch, but it certainly was deteriorating yesterday.
Certainly the one that got Pujara did certainly keep low. I think every batsman on the ground probably would have been a bit nervous seeing that, because they did have a couple of the jump, but that was the first one that genuinely kept low, just short of a good length, and just clipped off the stump on the way through. So, I think some of the Aussies would be a bit concerned. Look, at the moment, it seems to be playing all right, but as you say, first hour and a half or so of the day, the heavy roller seems to be having an effect.
So, what are you looking forward to today, mate? I'm looking forward to Nathan Lyon, as I've said. Yeah, I reckon get him up the order. I'm not sure about Mitch Marsh. Was booed on the first day when
that was poor.
No, that was fine, I thought. That was a...
Don't boo your players.
Now, after Hanscom hit 50 off 20 balls last night in the T20 bash.
White ball cricket. Oh, great shot. So that's the first boundary of the innings. A lovely little late cut. Not quite a dab there, Marcus, but a lovely late cut down to third man.
Danny Lally would be proud of that shot. No, I'm looking forward to booing Mitch Marsh today when
he comes in. No.
Oh,
we won't be doing that.
There we go. We'll see how we go.
We just need a couple of those seats, mate.
All right.
We just need those two seats, 13 and 12. Thanks, mate. Cheers. Here we are at the G, negotiating seats. So that was, the fifth ball of the over. Bumrah, again, bowling well. It was the pick of the bowlers, the first two tests for India, I thought. And he doesn't look like he's going to be quick. And he's right up. He's got an unusual action, but geez, he comes through fast. Yeah, so remains to be seen a little bit. Hopefully, we don't boo Marsh again. I'm looking forward to the Marshes batting together and putting on a couple of hundred together. That'd be nice.
I reckon you're in fantasy land, and yeah.
Probably more likely he gets booed than makes 100, you reckon, Marcus?
More likely to be booed than making 100. But anyway, anything would be more interesting than the first 2 days.
Khawaja. Could be some runs for Khawaja today.
Yep.
He's due, I reckon.
Yeah, due for a few reverse sweeps. Like the 20 that he played in Pakistan. It could be the sort of track for that today.
Yeah, up and down bounce, maybe. The Indians didn't play a sweep, I don't think, did they? Offline?
No, not a pull shot. Not a jack.
Nothing. Nothing behind the wicket on the leg side.
So when Kohli had a brain fade, I think he got into a whole other zone of boredom himself, really, and then just started trying to hit the short stuff after the break in the next session.
The ref's not impressed here, people. The ref's not impressed.
What with
the test match.
Oh, well, no. It's a dead track, mate.
Yeah. You can see some of the weeds from here, though. They just hit some of those. The toughs that are sticking up. They might do a bit.
I said the pitch looked dicey like your head, but mate, there's a lot more action on both our heads than this wicket.
Here comes the sun. It's really another hot one today. Jeez, it would have been sapping yesterday. It was one of those days where there's no wind yesterday, and at the G, when the flags are dead, it just sits, the heat just sits in here, and it's quite oppressive. So I think the Australian bowlers will be hoping that the batsmen do the job today and give them at least a day in the air conditioning, quite frankly. That'll be pretty wrecked. And that's probably where I think Mitch Marsh did do well. He didn't look like taking a wicket, but he did bowl 20-odd overs, which Hanscom wasn't going to be doing. So in terms of we're backing up to a New Year's Day test. Let's assume this goes through a fifth day, which looks like highly likely at this stage. There's only 3 or 4 days break between the two test matches, so Mitch Marsh can take the load off the quicks in the hot weather. I think that's a good thing. Well left outside off.
He probably bowled better than Hanscom would have. I'll give him that.
Yeah, and look, like Hanscom's made a total of 12 runs or something in the first two tests. So
he made a few more than that, but yes, looked good last night in the big bash. But anyway,
yeah, white ball cricket. It's a different story, mate.
Technique exposed at the higher level.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of guys who look like $1 million running around in the Big Bash at the moment who don't get a sniff when it comes to playing red ball cricket, though. That's a great shot.
Colour drive. Very first time at the MCG, Ashish Narula, welcome. Just arrived now, third over of the day. Welcome to the MCG. First, you've never been here.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
You've lived in Melbourne 10 years.
No, I actually been to MCG. Remember we went for an AFL game?
An AFL game?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I took you to the footy.
Yes.
Who played that day?
Richmond and Essendon.
Ah, Dreamtime. Dreamtime at the G, that's right. Yeah. Awesome. So, first time at the G for a cricket match, Ashish Narula. Of course, you're a Barclay Street veteran now, 10 years.
I'm a legend.
Yeah, I'm a legend. Yeah, legends for the loose term at Barclay Street.
Fun
often
famous.
Thrown around indiscriminately.
Yeah.
But you have been there for 10 years. First time at the G. Fantastic. What are your expectations of today, mate?
Oh, well, I reckon Australia's going to win.
Australia's going to win?
Yep.
Geez, mate, not many Indians are calling that right here, right now.
Either, I reckon it might be a draw as well. I mean,
odds on that it's going to be a draw. We're surrounded by gambling advertising here. That's where my money would be. We don't do the gambling on the Dragon Cricket Podcast. What are you excited about seeing today, mate? Australia, India, what's...
It's the wide... And, yeah, the Indian team, I'm actually looking at the Indian team for the very first time, even the Australians. I mean, in person, yeah.
You're just a bit stunned to be here, really, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty
very good.
All alone.
Very good. Oh, wow. Bouncer from Bumrah.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back to you in a minute. Finchie's just cannoned one off his hip, straight to short mid-wicket. Ishan Sharma has him again. Let's look at the front foot. Oh,
it's good.
That's good.
It's one of the few non-no balls he's bowled today. And he's just clipped it off his pads. It's gone through straight. And you've got to say, it's good captaincy having that fielder in there because...
Agarwal.
That's an unusual fielding position, an unusual catch, really. So he was really just trying to push it through mid-on, and he just jumped on him a bit, hit a bit higher on the bat than he was anticipating, and it's gone straight to that short mid-wicket for a good catch.
Oh, he got it pretty much out of the middle, really. Smashed it, and the bloke caught it. great catch, and 1 for 24. Still a draw, Ashish, or what?
Oh, yes.
Game on for India now?
Draws on the cards, yeah, still.
Oh, we've got Finch gone early.
It was a sharp catch, though.
It was a sharp catch.
Well, Khawaja is here, so... Yeah, he likes to, you know, dig in and take his time, so... Draw still on the cards.
All good for now. Still going the draw. A proper sludge fest here. So,
what did he say?
What was Tim Payne saying to now Ashish Narula? You've copped a lot of sledges as
yes,
young Indian student playing park cricket in the western suburbs. You've copped a few.
Yeah.
What did you notice from Tim Payne yesterday to Rohit?
If you hit a six, now Tim Payne saying to Rohit Sharma, if you hit a six, I'm going to follow Mumbai Indians. And then he was saying, he was talking to Aaron Finch, who was standing next to him. How many teams have you played for? And he said, all of them except Bangalore.
Conversation between Payne and Finch but Payne was up the stumps and Finch was at short leg. So it was all talk to Roald Sharma, really.
But isn't that make Finchie look bad? It's like, how many teams does...
He's played for IP.
Except
Bangalore. Well, they are the richest IPL team, I would say so. Vijay Mallya was the owner of the team. Now he's behind the bars.
So Finch is anyone's except Bangalore's.
Yes.
There you go.
And then he said, oh, if you hit a six, I'm going to start following Mumbai Indians. And what did Rohit Sharma have? Had to say, oh, he just had a smile. He's like, yeah, all right, mate.
Harris has just stuck one straight down Ishan Sharma's throat, playing the pull shot. Fair to say, Lace, that's why Pujara and Kohli didn't play one yesterday, till Kohli got really hot.
Shocking
shot. Lost
his
mind.
And again, Marcus Harris looks fantastic for a 20-odd and gives his wicket away. He's really careful, so a young player doesn't make a habit of doing that. I think he's averaging 24 or something. He hasn't made more than 30. Shocking shot. Australia's 2 for 36 early. And India's 470 looks really good at the moment.
There you go. Mediocre on the pull shot.
Didn't really quite a shot. He just hit a four, clipped off his pads in the same spot along the ground. He did not need to play that shot. Terrible shot.
It's one thing for Virat to get out, go on the short one after being peppered after lunch, after surviving a session yesterday.
Yeah, 80. Yeah.
Yeah. Having faced 300 balls.
And cramping. Shocking shot. What a leg of calling. Mediocre with flashes of brilliance. Well, he's certainly been doing the mediocre bit. He looked fantastic too. Hit three or four boundaries, cover drives, straight drives, looking really good. He just did not need to play that shot.
Australia 2 for 36. Big shout from Sean Marsh, first ball. What have we got?
They're discussing. And they do not take the DRS. Now, well, the first ball, always a critical one.
Sean Marsh never fails to deliver early. First ball to Bumrah. Straight 2 for 36. Everybody's up, wrapped on the pads. What do you think? Here's the replay, Ashish.
This is a pretty common sight to me because whenever I face the first ball,
and they're not going to—they're not going to show us that one. Maybe an inside edge.
Probably, yeah. Sean Marsh, big hopes on him.
A bit like yourself, Ashish. Bit of a nervous starter.
I know. Tell me about it.
You're the VVS Laxman of Barclay Street cricket, except that he could always turn anything on the stumps through mid-wicket for hundreds and hundreds of runs.
Yes, that is my strongest.
You look very similar, except that you miss it and go at LB.
Especially the straight ones,
Anyway. And Marsh sees out the over with a forward defence. Enjoy the game, but don't join the action. Keep off the arena. Penalty $9,671.40, Chris Lacey. That seems a very specific amount for just getting your gear off and running on the ground.
Yeah, it's the 40 cents that makes all the difference in my mind.
Okay. Between keeping your pants on and
yeah, that's right.
Whipping them off and joining the action, so to speak.
Yeah.
So why that dollar amount, Marty? Is it itemised or, you know?
I'd say it's probably goes up by 3.5% a year or something. That's why it sort of ended up there. Something boring like that.
Wow. Jeez, mate. In this Cricket Australia world that we live in, mate, corporatised, bloody... It's bureaucracy gone mad, mate.
Yeah. Sure. Just stay in your seat, mate, and it's fine.
Anyway, don't worry about it. Here at the MCG, day 3.
I remember, here we go,
another slow day.
I remember sitting in Bay 13 and got back when it used to be a $500 fine, and guys would just get cash from all the blokes around them to cover the fine, and then off they'd go, you know, which is why they made it super high, and we see less people doing it, obviously, these days. It used to be part of the fun, and obviously players used to get involved and different things used to happen, and it was all a bit dangerous, so they made it so high, so people just don't do it.
You know, I reckon we could spruik $9,671.40 right here, right now. We're putting out a campaign. If anyone wants to pitch in, drag them. Cricket podcast from the Olympic stand down low under the shade.
For you to do it.
All right.
Yeah, I don't do public nudity, bro.
No, there you go.
Sorry.
No, never mind. It's probably a good thing for cricket.
It's a good thing for everybody's eyeballs, that's for sure.
There you go. Getting your gear off of the cricket, not what it used to be. Bureaucracy gone mad.
It's the beach balls that are more of a worry in my mind. You get fined for having a beach ball now.
Oh, Lord. What is cricket coming to, Chris?
It's a bit silly.
Remember the first time I was here at the MCG when the lights first went up, the first ever game.
Yeah.
And Robbie Kerr made about 70 that night against England, I think, in the Challenger Series, 88 it must have been.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, America's Cup and all that.
I think I may have been here as well.
We got seats next to Bay 13, and my mum got punched in the mouth between two blokes having a fight.
Beryl. Someone punched Beryl?
Yeah, she was in the middle of two blokes going for it.
That's terrible.
Got one in the mouth.
So was your dad one of the blokes?
Was the advent... No, he wasn't. Dad would not be seen at the cricket. Mum's the cricket tragic. Dad's like, nah, never.
Really?
And funnily enough...
So why did she sit in Bay 13?
There was no seats left, I think. That's all we could get. We were there late. We were coming... It's on Sunday after church. Had to come down.
Oh, you legends. Well, from Pinneroo?
No. We were here in Melbourne then. But it was a day-night game, so we had church in the morning. Got in for 2 o'clock to start. Advent of the human wave that time, Mexican wave. I remember all sorts of things being thrown. We're getting hit by a full chicken. Christmas chicken. The whole chook.
That's a fair effort.
I know.
That's nice. I remember my uncle got hit in the head with a can of beer sitting in like Bay 15. So we're quite, you know, he used to like to sit there because he could watch all the dickheads, but you weren't in amongst it. But he copped one from, I think they threw it from the top deck. I was only a young fella. I was a bit disturbed, but he was all right. A glancing blow.
A bit like Marcus Harris last night.
Yeah.
Maybe he was still recovering.
So what did you do when your mum got punched in the mouth? Did you go the bloke? What did you do? You were like 14 or 15, did you?
No, I just think I picked the chicken up and threw it back in the air, mate.
Well, what happened to your mum? You've got to finish the story now.
She was fine. She could,
she could take a punch, could she? I wouldn't have thought that about your mum. I'll have to try that next time I see her. Yeah. No. I'd never do that to Beryl.
Slow day at the MCG here.
Oh, no, it's faster than yesterday.
Day 3, and, you know, we're talking about how much it costs to get your gear off and go for a run.
Don't have fun at the MCG. That's what it's all about. Just sit there and watch the cricket and be bored.
Okay.
That's the word from Cricket Australia. Drink as much beer, watered down mid-strength beer as you can, because they make money out of that. But apart from that, no fun.
Maybe that's what online gambling's for, mate.
Yeah, maybe. We come to the 2020, the Big Bash, it's the opposite. They've got slides, they've got fireworks, they've got everything but the cricket. At Big Bash, at the Renegades, they have motorcycles doing flips.
Right.
It's like, what the hell? Where the hell am I? I'm waiting for a monster truck to come out. Bowl over to City Sixers. Minnesota.
right, we're on drinks on to the first session of day three here. Chris, your reflections on that little session?
Look, Finch and Harris started beautifully and looked really good. Both played a couple of cover drives. Harris had played a late cut and clipped one off his pads for four and was looking really good for his 22 or 23. And then he had an absolute brain fade and pulled one down the fine leg. The Finch one was really disappointing too, but I think just good captaincy from Coley for that one. He changed the field up, put a fielder in that short mid-wicket, and Finch did exactly what Coley wanted them to do and whacked it straight at him. So, for a good catch, but still really disappointing to be 2 for 40-odd. And as you said, Marcus, we've basically got in Khawaja and Sean Marsh, Au, Pajara and Coley. And, oh, my goodness, it's a bit scary. So, look, hopefully these guys will do all right. If we can be, say, 2 for at lunch, then it'll give us something to build on. But if we get another couple of wickets here, India could roll us, really, and not have to bat again. So hopefully these guys can dig in.
Game opening up a little here, first session. It's warm and cloudy and muggy. The players are having a drink. We try not to have our first drink at the cricket lace here at the Dragon Cricket Podcast till the players do. We got given a free "it's your game" flag. I suppose we should have a drink at the same time as the players, given that it is our game.
It is our game. It's a park cricket odyssey, even here at the MCG. And yeah, no doubt we'll have one or two quiet glasses of water, Marcus.
11:30 a.m. beer o'clock.
Well, it is. The sun, as my old man would say, the sun's hit the yard arm somewhere in the world. So I'm sure it'll all be good. It's different time zone, though, at Christmas time. It's beer o'clock at all times, surely.
Beautiful. So what are you saying, Sheesh?
Cameron Bancroft is going to be available for the selection from the 29th of December. Is he a good bat anyway? I mean, we haven't seen him so much. I know he's in the news for some good reasons. But to be honest, we haven't really seen him batting.
No. Well, he hasn't been playing, has he? One would
How was he anyway? I mean, when he wasn't in the news.
Well, he was looking good to be the next solid opening, part of a new opening combination.
Right. Okay.
But you know, take Warner and Bancroft out of that, and you know, now we've got Finch and Harris, and that's going how it's going at the moment.
Yeah.
Cameron Bancroft did appear on Boxing Day interview on Foxtel with Adam Gilchrist.
I saw that interview yesterday, yes.
Wearing the old sleeveless muscle shirt.
Yes.
Classy look when you've been out for
a long time. It was looking
like he was straight from training.
Was looking quite
hard
fit.
Hard at it, keen to go, maybe.
Yeah. Mentally and physically fit?
Yeah,
that's what
know.
He said?
Sort of. And he said he didn't know what he was doing. with the whole ball town, I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. He wanted to fit in.
Fit in, yeah, there you go.
Wanted to fit in by doing sandpaper thing. Hello.
Cameron Bancroft, would you have him back, Kashish?
I would, yes. Given the Australian team looking, yes, I would have him.
Oh, Lord. Very good. Some might have thought it might have been better to make a few runs and actually be playing. Like you said, we haven't seen him for a while, and it might be better to let your bat do the talking, Virat Kohli style.
Just the way Virat says.
You know, well, he makes some runs to back up the words, let's face it, which will earn you some respect. But it's at the moment, I'll be putting some sleeves on, maybe a collar and a tie, and I'd be saying very little, I reckon, if I was counting.
That's a boundary? No, it's going to cut off. It's going to get cut off,
Or if I was saying stuff, I might have a bigger conversation about, actually, all the other things that went on and the unanswered questions.
Yeah.
That we still don't know about ball tampering in general. Still seems quite a divide, Ashish, in my mind, between people who actually play cricket at the highest level and, the public about, you know, the whole scandal of ball tampering, which says it's more about the Australian cricket culture, I think, than it is about the actual ball tampering.
Yeah, the Sutherland and who was the next guy? Howard.
Pat Howard, yeah.
Pat Howard, yeah. He said, I just read this news that he said to Steve Smith, you do not get paid to play, you get paid to win.
Yes, yes.
Now, Steve Smith says that that actually was sort of, he didn't say that, but, you know, we can make out that he says this was the reason of the culture, the Australian culture that's been developed.
Anyway, it'd be nice to get all the truth out about ball tampering. Maybe we need an international amnesty on ball tampering.
Yeah,
we can find all the games that people have done stuff to the ball. But your India, South Africa,
people have
England,
been doing,
you know. And we actually get to the bottom of what's actually been going on. Because I haven't seen a lot of reverse swing here in Australia this series, interestingly enough.
Yeah. All I can say is, no, I don't want to say that, no.
Oh, yeah.
It's a part of cricket, I would say, ball tampering, no? People do that.
Well, you know...
People do that.
Cricket has laws, not rules.
And
laws are open to interpretation by lawyers. Or, you know...
Laws are meant to be broken.
Captains and, you know, yeah, it's the broad parameters in which, a ball and a batter
people
sort
do
of
that.
Thrown around on a ground.
Fuff does that.
Add millions of dollars and international sort of status and nationalism and everything else, and yes, those laws can be a little bit fuzzy.
Yes.
Do we need to clean up the game by being stricter on the, you know, turning the laws of cricket into hard and fast rules?
Well, I don't know. It's complicated.
Do we like some of the fuzzy? You know, that's part of what makes cricket unique and what it is.
It's complicated. Yeah, I would say some spice is good. Yeah. Otherwise, it'll be dull, yeah.
A little bit of
ball tampering should be allowed.
a little bit of spice in your chicken tikka masala, you reckon, mate?
Chicken. There's been a lot of spice in my life, mate.
The applause, ladies and gentlemen, for Sean Marsh. He's just got off the mark after, a good 20 minutes on zero.
17 balls.
A quickly run single to mid on. Close thing. Almost had to dive. But he's on the board, ladies and gentlemen. Now we just got to give him over 10 and he's guaranteed 100.
Guaranteed 100.
It's just getting past 10 statistically is the tricky number for Sean. Hello! Uzi Khawaja has played reverse sweep number one, and that has gone all the way. That's what you want in a rear guard Australian batting action. That all the way back from the Great Escape, back in Dubai. 21 reverse sweeps he played. Hasn't played one in his whole life. 21 he came and saved the game for Australia. That's Uzi when he's on. We didn't see any in Adelaide or Perth.
No.
Now what's happened?
Just because of
what's happened? Now it's back, finally.
This is Ravindra Jadeja's
finally
space.
We're up against it. And, it's Jadeja, you reckon? Maybe.
Yeah, it's his pace.
And,
what was that? And he's out!
And he's blocked the next one straight to short leg. Bad pad. And Uzi is gone. There is no great escape today. She's the ruler.
I did say that Ravindra Jadeja is going to take some wickets here.
You did say that. Mate, what's he done there? That's innocuous at best. Should have reverse sweeped it again, I reckon.
Again, yes.
Maybe. Gone.
Yes. A reverse.
21 in the Great Escape. That's the great deflate, that one.
Oh, well. He was looking good, as usual.
Oh, Lord. And Australia going to new levels of mediocre with flashes of brilliance here. Chris Lacey, you've just said that's our Kohli and Pujara. The partnership has been broken. Sean Marsh is off the mark, but Uzi, finally a reverse sweep. Third test into the series. Here we're having all these great escape sort of, flashbacks going, oh, he's on now. Next ball.
Shit shot. Disappointing. Sean Marsh is one off 24 balls or something. I don't know what the hell they're thinking, these guys. I like the fact that there's a few boundaries here and there, but they're not watching yesterday. I mean, you've got to be able to dig in. You know, and that's just...
He was blocking it.
Oh, but just push, going way too hard at the ball.
There you go. Anyway. Definitely some turn there from Jadeja. And the pitch is looking a little rough there too. So it's going to be a challenge from Australia here.
No point looking at $1 million playing a reverse sweep and then doing that the next ball.
Says Chris Lacey, who's
never played a reverse sweep in his life.
The most interesting thing of the last couple of days has unfortunately not been the cricket, Boxing Day, Australia's Day of Days. But there's been a fair bit in the news about Steve Smith and Cameron Bancroft's interviews with Adam Gilchrist. Chris, what are your thoughts on that one?
I was just reading the article. Someone said called Gilchrist the new Michael Parkinson, which I thought was probably a bit strong.
Yeah, it was probably slats or
someone pumping up his tyres. Oh, look, I thought Ponting's reaction was probably as interesting as anybody's. That's a big shout here for LB, but not out. They're going to set it up. No, they're not. So, he basically, he was very disappointed in Cam Bancroft's conversation, and even Slats was probably as strong as I've seen him too, saying they're making it pretty difficult for Davey Warner. And I think Smith's come out as well to say some things. So there's obviously some kind of campaign happening around the Boxing Day test. I know you had a hunch that it was some PR person sort of decided to set it all up maybe a few months ago without really sort of smelling the, you know, where the wind was at. But pretty ordinary, I thought. Probably one of those great times for everyone just to shut up and make some runs. And it's one of those, you talked a lot in the last podcast about the good bloke stuff. And who is a good bloke and who isn't. You've got to remind people that you're a good bloke, and you don't do that by saying, as a 25-year-old and guy played 75 first-class matches, I didn't know what was happening when I was asked to sandpaper the ball. That's not going to get you anywhere.
And putting Dave Warner in it 9 months after the event, which may well be true, and so Warner doesn't look good at one level. Can he come back at all? At another level, he looks okay, because at least he's holding his tongue at the moment. On Boxing Day, the biggest day in the sporting calendar, all we're talking about is sort of what happened 9 months ago, but still a lot...
Great shot.
A lot that we don't know.
Yeah. Best shot Marsh has played in a while. That's clipped off his pads with a lot of confidence there. That was great. Yeah, I mean, Bancroft was sort of sliding his way through the whole thing, has been portrayed as a bit of a victim in it all. And suddenly with that one interview, it's flipped really, where he's now seen as someone who's trying to dig the boot in, unnecessarily really. So he's coming back, I think he's due back, is it today or tomorrow he's due back? He can play again the 29th of December. So I think he's playing for the Perth Scorchers at the end of the week. Yeah, poor timing probably, and Slats is, you know, they want to put it behind them. The whole of the cricket fraternity just want to stop talking about it, and these three guys aren't, or two guys, two of the three, aren't really letting that happen.
I remember after the Bancroft-Smith interview in South Africa, people thought, oh, when Warner finally talks, he could just go ballistic and say a whole lot of stuff. Is he going to go rogue? And he hasn't. But in a sense, they're saying it again. People are going, oh, what's he going to say?
Yeah.
Is it time for an amnesty on ball tampering
globally? Yeah, well, that was your call on the way in this morning. And look, really interesting thing to think about. I mean, what's really obvious is there's a bunch of cricketers who don't think what they did is that big a deal, because it's probably been happening every other test match.
And there's an Australian public that it's not actually about the ball tampering. It's about cricketers living in a bubble and behaviour that's been happening for the last 30 years.
So whether we need to clear the air that way, I can't see that happening. But it's an interesting thing. I mean, the same thing was talked about with the drug scandal around with the Essendon Footy Club, whether we needed to have a bit of an inquiry into this kind of behaviour. Because it was obvious that certainly Essendon thought that there was at least three or four other clubs doing just the same, if not worse, or better than they were. And whether that's the case here in cricket, whether we just need to lance the boil, have an inquiry, let everybody sort of go, yeah, put their hand up to, I did that, and move on again without it being a big deal. But
The Essendon thing's interesting because how do you get over a crisis? Or even Adelaide Footy Club last year with the whole pre-season camp. You can have all the PR, all the ads, all the press conferences you like, and seemingly not
get any further or get out of the rut, it seems.
Well, the classic comparison with Essendon is to what Cronulla did with the NRL. Same issue. They pled guilty, took the punishment, got banned for 6 weeks, basically for the rest of that season, got kicked out of the finals, and then came back the next year and no one really talked about it. Versus Essendon, who, you know, they felt they were innocent of what happened, so they fought hard, dragged on for 3 years. By the end of it, everyone at Essendon were the bad guys, even though early on it was probably the medicos and particularly those couple of guys that were the bad guys. So that's the trick. And look, again, I wasn't the one being accused either of those things, and you don't want your name, if you don't feel like you've done the wrong thing, having that hanging over your head the whole time is a dark thing. That's probably maybe what Bancroft's trying to do here. Doesn't want it to follow him around, be the first line of his Wikipedia entry, or the first thing mentioned every time he steps onto a cricket ground for the rest of his career. But I think whoever's advising him, and my theory is that Cricket Australia is actually helping to set these things up. Fox Sports, Adam Gilchrist, I mean, these are all Cricket Australia insiders, and they're trying to do it, and I think it's backfiring in a big way.
Trying to rehabilitate the image as you get towards playing, but surely the best way to do that is to actually make some runs and actually have some cricket to talk about, as opposed to just what happened a long time ago that was scandalous. Make a few hundreds, do a Virat Kohli, let your bat do the talking, and then you can sledge and overreact and do whatever you like, partly. I'd love to see all three come back and play for Australia, quite frankly. I'd like to see all three never do a press conference ever again.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, I can't see either of those things happening, I'm afraid, Marcus. Because I've got a sneaking suspicion that Warner's card is marked, and that might be what this is about too. They might be trying to give the selectors a reason to not select Warner again, even if he goes on to make lots of big scores. There's something in all that where there is real. That's an inside edge, I think. And that's gone through everybody for four buys. Did he hit it or not? That's
he
what
hit
the, he did.
He hit it. Four runs off the bat.
That's heads
maybe
first
chance.
Runs.
Maybe a chance.
It'd have to be.
Not really convincing, you'd have to say.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
So did that just hit that flip the top of the bat or the gloves? Because it just kept going.
He hasn't got buys.
Yeah. But it didn't look like it deviated much either. Whether it was an inside the glove, I don't know. But anyway, four runs, first runs to head, not particularly convincing. But they're trying to dig in out here at the moment. It's that time in any park cricket day where it's probably the skipper who's coming at number five, Marcus, trying to hold it all together and just not go out for a while. That's what they're doing. Let's get to lunch.
Day just looking dangerous there with the rough outside off to the left-hander's head in Marshia.
Yeah, when's the next right-hander?
Hand grenades all of a sudden.
Marsh a right-hander? I think he is, isn't he? Mitch?
Yeah, Mitch is.
Mitch Marsh is a right-hander. So is Payne, I think. So that might help him a bit. But it's 3 for 63 here. It's just before midday. The third day of the Boxing Day test match at the G. It's Grizzly and the Rev with our special correspondent, Ashu Ashish Narula.
So, Chris, Ricky Ponting wasn't that impressed with what Cam Bancroft had to say the other day.
Yeah.
He was, as much as what he said, I think he said he didn't present himself in a very good way. I just don't think he liked his sleeveless muscle shirt, you know. I don't know what's going on there. I mean, Ricky Ponting went from sort of being the bogan to really the Sydney-dwelling the image-bearer of Australian cricket as captain. Learn a bit about changing his image over the years. Ricky, after the early incident of the bourbon and beefsteak, or whatever it was, the black eye. Do you reckon it was just the outfit? Ricky'd like to see him with a few sleeves on? Or is he just jealous as a slight bloke of Bancroft's muscles?
I'll just take that one as a comment, I think, Marcus. So Ed's just missed one here. There's an appeal. I think the appeal was initially for caught behind, but they've sent it upstairs for stumping. So let's see how he goes. He comes forward and he's certainly missed it, but I don't think his foot's coming out of the crease there. He's come out, and he's fine. No drama. So they didn't seem too fussed about it, and pretty obvious he's not out there. So Trevor's head is still in there. He's got guys all around the bat. There's bat pad on both sides of the wicket. First slip and a leg gully. Big appeal. Off the pad going to the leg gully, but I don't think he's hit it. And with an appeal like that, you'd think they'd send it straight upstairs because they were running everywhere. No, they were just trying to put pressure on the umpire, I think. So they're all up and about at the moment here at the MCG. So let's go again. This is a good little spell of bowling from Jadeja. Head comes down to wicket to him again and plays that much better. Pushes it back to the bowler. He bowls again and, yeah, just squeezes that one with a cut shot, square drive through point for a single. Which brings Marsh to the crease. Marsh is 14 off 36. If he gets to 20, then we might be looking at getting some runs here because he averages over 80 when he hits 20. Ugh, ugly little push shot there to mid-wicket with no footwork. Yeah.
It's the last ball before lunch.
He's got to refer it. Stop talking about it, refer it, mate. Come on.
Travis ahead and Marsh having a discussion here. I think he's walking off. They're all walking off for lunch.
Too important a wicket. He's got to refer that.
Slower one.
Yeah, well, it was 130.
I take that back. That was
Singayoka.
Plum wickets. That's hit him on the shin.
It was just.
That's a beautiful, beautiful Yorker. The last ball before lunch.
He's on 19. Saying, he just one more to get.
That's
to
what
20,
I said. He
and then he'd be a guaranteed 100.
It'd be nice if he got to 20 before lunch, one ball to go, and then he just decided to kick one again.
Bumrah's got a slower ball. I haven't seen one in three tests.
He's got a Malinga slow.
Ashish has come to life here with that one.
That is a tough wicket.
It's a pretty dead hour given to the last that last ball.
80 runs scored in the session. Probably the fastest session in the whole series almost. So I'll clip it along at a fair rate for a while there. 40-run partnership maybe. Looking all right and then that. So 4.89 at lunch. And, India, it was five sessions before it took four wickets against India and 400 runs. So, look, not looking good here for the Aussies.
How are you feeling if you're an Australian bowler at this point, besides really tired?
I think you're saying to Payne, why didn't you win the toss, mate? But again, what would have happened, because if Payne had won the toss, Saker was interviewed and he said that he'd spoken with Payne and they'd agreed that if they won, they'd bowl. And he was really thankful that they hadn't won the toss. Because that would have been an absolute cracking disaster. But we could see a result today, Marcus, the way things are cracking. We could see 20 wickets fall in a day. So here we go.
All right, we'll be back after lunch looking forward to the introduction of Mitch Marsh.
And no booing. Well, I can't hear any booing, which is good. So maybe it was just those people who come for Boxing Day who don't actually like cricket. Maybe they're the ones who booed Marcus.
No, mate, it's people who are just sick and tired of Mitchell Marsh being in the team, let alone vice-captain.
Come on, he's the vice-captain, mate. Come on. can't have picked the guy.
Oh, it was a bit of hometown. Hanscom's missed out. Obviously, people seem keen to see Hanscom on his home ground.
Well, he did get into the side on the back of some scores he made at the MCG on these pitches. So it was a bit of an odd decision in some ways in that regards. But you still can't boo a guy who's coming out to play, do his best play for Australia.
Well, let's just see how he goes his first over against Jadeja, mate.
Still can't boo him.
And, you know...
Have a go at the selectors. Don't have a go at him. It's not his fault.
No, he's a beautiful man. Beautiful man.
So here we go.
Of all the people you want coming in at 4 for 89 when you're still 300 behind.
He's probably went out too.
Back and Miss Mitch Marr.
Oh, I don't know. Don't put words in my mouth, bro. He could be on his way back.
Just don't boo him.
He's doing the best he can.
Been listening to the Dragon Cricket Podcast, broadcast from the Barclay Street Uniting Cricket Club of Melbourne's Inner West. Legal disclaimer: the views and opinions contained herein do not necessarily reflect the official position of the Barclay Street Uniting Cricket Club. Brought to you by Cricket Journeyman, who, in a time of Australian cricket crisis, undertook a quest to rediscover the true spirit of Australian suburban park cricket. Arise, you purple dragons, feel the fire. Enter your lair of gold.
Beer.